This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number three. Thanks for joining us as we continue along this morning on Sports Map Radio. All right, last night, Washington with a field goal that won it over the Giants, 30-29. So week two, is already in the books in terms of its first game. But there's a plethora of games left, and we're going to go through all of them to give you sort of a value. Now, if you're new to this segment, what we do is we don't really say, oh, Cincinnati-Chicago, we think the Bears will win or the Bears will cover or whatever. We leave that to other shows. We tell you whether or not that game is valuable to your time. Should you watch? If you are watching, what are you watching? What exactly is at stake between the two teams? Now, some of these games have a lot of value, a lot of importance, especially late in the season. And some are just plain duds that we just want to get out of the way. Week two to about week five or six is really interesting because there's always a value to the start of the season. That's the joy of the NFL. You may be a bad team on paper, but if you start 2-0, that's off to a fantastic start. So we're going to go through every single one of them and give you your feelings for what we think are going to be worth your time and what are not going to be worth your time and what you should be watching as we continue along. Also, again, college football coming up this weekend. We've got some pretty good games on tap. As we mentioned earlier, Alabama is taking on Florida. We've also got a game at Penn State where Auburn is coming to town. And then a game that we've been kind of alluding to this week, Nebraska is going to Oklahoma to play the Sooners, a rivalry that had been going on for a very long time. 1912 was when those two schools first played each other. And conference rivals, right there in the national championship race for many years, 1971, 50 years, the game of the century. They're going to commemorate that, a Nebraska victory over Oklahoma that would lead to a national championship, a win against Alabama in the Orange Bowl, I believe. And it's one of those sort of sports moments where those who have been around at the time still remember it. Even on the losing end, there's still guys who participated in it. That game featured young head coaches like Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, Monty Kiffin. That game featured a lot of NFL players, really big-name stars that would go on to the league. It was one heck of a ball game with a lot of legacy. It's got, one of those tree branches that extends. But coming up next, we'll go through all the early games on Sunday to tell you what we think of them. It's the Friday version of this on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for Ron and I to go through the games on Sunday. We start with the early games and tell you, is this good? Is this not good? And if it is good, why? And if it's not, why? So let's get rolling, Ron Culver. Let's start in Soldier Field in Chicago, where the Bears are going to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. What are we doing with the Bears this year with Justin Fields? Are we waiting and seeing, or do we anticipate that he'll get more action in this game? Will Andy Dalton continue to start?
Well, Andy Dalton's got to start this game, right?
I think so.
You're going against the Bengals, but Justin Fields needs to pull the trigger.
It is coming sometime soon. You got to think it would, right? Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Bengals came off a home win against the Minnesota Vikings. Oh my gosh, be careful of the Bengals at 2-0 if they should win this game. Don't need another team in the AFC North to play around with. Well, I like Cincinnati. I thought they played pretty good against Minnesota, and I like Joe Burrow's development as a quarterback. But I think nobody cares about that. I think everybody's caring about Chicago. Yeah. Everyone's looking at the Chicago situation and going, what are the Bears going to do with that? I think that's the more intriguing story. I think that's where a lot of the attention are going.
Yeah,
the Bengals are nice, but everybody wants to know if Matt Nagy is going to pull the trigger on his QB.
Well, we know where the Bengals are going to finish. For me, the Bengals are going to finish below 500, but they're not going to be bottom of the table. They're going to be bottom of the table in the AFC North, but they're not going to be the worst team in the AFC.
Yeah, and the Bears could be a team that, could, I don't know, not be very good. If it wasn't for the extra team last year, they wouldn't have made the playoffs.
Yeah, no. Right? Andy Dalton, I guess, as a placeholder right now, but why use him? Why use him like that?
All right, let's go to Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. That's where the Browns are going to take on the Houston Texans. Being in Houston, give me one thing that is going right for Houston that would make me go, all right, yeah. They just beat Jacksonville. Tyrod Taylor? David Culley?
I can't think of one. Mark Ingram.
Okay. David Johnson, is he still doing things for the Texans?
He did last week.
Yeah, very good. Cleveland, I put in my top five, even after they lost to Kansas City.
Yeah, they
played a whale of a game, man.
They played great. You know what? It's the Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs.
That's the big issue. You know, I could see Cleveland just winning here on out and losing to the Chiefs only again.
You know, you see this at times in the history of this league where there's that one team in the conference and everybody else is playing to beat them, and you see teams just get exhausted because they go, we have given everything we have and we're still coming up a little short. This is the Browns, but I'd be very interesting as this season develops, how do they figure out to get that one extra step to beat Kansas City, wherever that game should be.
And that's what it is, right? I mean, how far have we come that we're not even talking about the Browns? Like, you know, what steps can they take to, you know, find a quarterback? What steps can they take to just have a winning season? Now we're talking about the Browns. Like, what steps can they take to take down that juggernaut, the Chiefs?
Yep, exactly. And here's the other thing, too. This could be a trap game, because think about the last two opponents Cleveland has played. They've been Kansas City.
True.
Right? The playoff loss and then the first game out of the gate. You know, some guys need motivation sometimes, and Houston, I don't think, is offering you a threat enough. This could be. I doubt it, because I think the Browns know what the goal is at the end of the day. But, you know, we've seen teams go, whoops, how did that get away from us? Is because they're coming off the I can't believe we lost or can't believe we won scenario from a week before.
And I really don't think they're looking ahead to next week, because next week they play the Bears.
Right, exactly.
So I don't think it's going to be that kind of scenario either.
All right, Indianapolis, the Colts, taking on the L.A. Rams. Matt Stafford. Boy, everybody loves Matt Stafford in a Rams uniform, do they not?
It's a resurgence.
They really love him.
Put him down as comeback player of the year.
Yeah, we're playing the Bears that weren't all that good, but my God, people just fell in love with them. And the Colts, well, the Colts lost to the Seahawks, and, well, it's still I like this matchup because I think the Colts still have stuff to show. But, man, if you're looking for fun, the Rams offense could be the fun story of the season if they play this way, that we got a guy who can really sling it now.
And I'm not sure what the timetable is on the turnaround, but win or lose, you will find the background of all this coming up on Hard Knocks in a few weeks.
That is very true. So it really doesn't matter whether you find this game valuable or not. HBO does, and they'll give you all the details down the road on HBO.
God, if the Colts just keep losing, are they going to point to HBO as a distraction?
I think so.
Because cameras are constantly in their face.
Everywhere.
And then everyone's seeing, like, you know, all their business week in and week out. It's one thing to see training camp business, but now you're dealing with regular season business.
Yeah, and I don't want, like, all the details. I don't want Liev Schreiber to go, Carson Wentz and his wife had an argument last night over the grocery bill. He's making $22 million a season, but yet the nickel and diming is starting to get to her. Like, I don't need that. like, what kind of information are we getting from this show? I don't want that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Buffalo taking on Miami. Hey, remember the good old days when both these teams stunk?
Yes.
Remember that? Patriots would win the division by four games.
Now, did you think coming into this game that the Dolphins would be the team that's 1-0 and Buffalo would be the one that's 0-1?
Good question. Mm. Yeah, good question.
Tua's got to be all the Dolphins got to be a little bit scared, right?
I got to tell you something. We know it's a long season. We get it, right? Ups and downs. But can you how would the Dolphins feel if they had a nice little two-game lead over Buffalo this early in the season?
Yes.
Right? Just like, hey, I know you're coming. I know you're going to get your act together. But it would be nice early on if we could get a little bit of a cushion. I think this is a huge game. Like, I don't think it's huge like we're going to talk about in, like, 10 weeks.
No,
but I mean, like, for week two, this is kind of a big deal.
The Bills need to win. They need to just... You don't want to start this season off 0-2 with all the success that you had last year, because then all it's going to do is just bring in all that negativity that, especially in Buffalo, that they enjoy.
No, exactly.
I mean, they'll thrive off of this. You know.
Oh yeah.
I fear for all the
tables in Buffalo right now.
Yep, you've crossed over. You're now expected to be halfway decent, really, really decent. So
I mean, this team was expected to go 17-0.
Yeah, right? No kidding. The New England Patriots at the New York Jets. How fun is this rookie quarterback battle going to be? Mac Jones against Zach Wilson? Come on now. You can't, grab some popcorn, settle in to a battle at MetLife Stadium.
I give the edge to the Patriots.
I do too.
I just think that there's so much more for them to offer.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're better. They're more complete as a team.
Wasn't Zach Wilson sacked 8 times last week or something stupid?
Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
So, I mean, we all know Belichick's a defensive genius. What kind of schemes is he going to throw at Zach Wilson?
I don't think New England's going to have too much of trouble in this one.
No.
I don't think it's high on the list of games that you must watch, but if you kind of are intrigued with rookie development, you got a little bit of that angle.
Will he be the second Jets quarterback to be talking about ghosts on the field?
That's true. Good point. Good point. And if you want to, maybe Zach Wilson's mother will be there, and I don't know.
I don't know.
That might be a secondary thing.
First home game for them, right?
Yeah.
So
by
maybe.
By the way, I don't know Mac Jones's mother. I don't care. Zach Wilson's mom is attractive. People tend to.
It's because Zach Wilson is like Doogie Howser. He's 16, right, playing as an NFL quarterback.
I love it.
It's a great story.
It is a great story. San Francisco on the road against Philadelphia. The 1-0 Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts.
Battle of the Unbeatens.
That's right. A battle of the Unbeatens. 49ers and the Eagles. Oh, this was, you know what? The 49ers, I really like them. I really do. I know they let Detroit right back into a game they shouldn't have. But I like the 49ers.
I do,
and
too.
I'm really curious about the Eagles. What if the Eagles show up and play this Niners team really well, and Jalen Hurts wins this game?
Then you need to shut Philadelphia down.
I think you're right.
I think you need to build a wall around Philadelphia. Don't let them out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because that city could riot positively.
Now, listen, the Atlanta Falcons were held to just 2 field goals, but I don't think anybody was talking about the Eagles' defense as much as it was the ineptitude of the Falcons' offense.
Yeah.
In that game, so I don't think you have that angle at all. But
and do we get the feeling that Jimmy G is playing for his job week in, week out?
I think so. I think that was set up this season.
Yeah.
Whether they deny it or not, they can deny it all they want. I think they set that up.
I mean, even Trey, didn't he get the first touchdown of the season? That must have stung a little bit.
I know. Yuck. How about the Las Vegas Raiders coming off that wacky, wild, fun Monday night game, going on the road to play Pittsburgh?
Might be a letdown.
Very vanilla and predictable offense was squished in the corner by the fantastic, unbelievable defensive effort by the Steelers in their win against Buffalo.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing to look for. I think the Steelers defense has a chance to be something special this season.
I do too. I really do. I think it could be I underestimated it, and then when looking over some of that game against Buffalo, they played exceptionally well.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of Broncos-esque, right? When the Broncos won the Super Bowl, because it was all about their defense. It wasn't about Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning
is a great quarterback, has a great football mind, but his body couldn't keep up with his mind.
You know, it's really funny. I went through my Facebook memories, and I actually have a memory that says Broncos can win the Super Bowl despite Peyton Manning not playing very well. And because it was an early observation that Manning wasn't playing particularly well, but somehow they were winning these games with a stellar defense. They beat Kansas City despite three turnovers by Peyton Manning.
See, and that
they
right
did it
there.
Because they returned a fumble for a touchdown.
That right there is you putting the Tony D in Nostradamus.
That's right. That's right. All right, we'll come back. We'll do the rest of the season coming up, including Denver on the road, Atlanta on the road, Dallas on the road. We'll get to all of that coming up next as Wake Up Call continues.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get right back to the NFL schedule, but first, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, and squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, let's get back to the fun of the National League, National Football League schedule. Whether or not these games have any value to you or not, we're continuing the early games in Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers taking on the New Orleans Saints. Who wouldn't want to watch the New Orleans Saints right now? Let's see if Jameis Winston can throw five more touchdowns without a pick.
Yes.
Or throw five picks without a touchdown. You never know what you get with him.
How crazy would that be?
Oh, that would be nuts. If he threw five interceptions with no touchdown passes, I would have a fun.
You know what? The only problem with that would be all the Aaron Rodgers tanking talk would just be off the charts.
It would be crazy nuts. Absolutely. Carolina, led by Sam Darnold, coming off a week one victory against the Jets, as both teams are 2-0. Nothing really to write home about with Carolina, but Jameis Winston's worth the price.
Yeah, I mean, worth to see what he's going
to
do.
Worth to see. How about the Denver Broncos?
If he throws another five touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah, I know, right?
God, that just...
Yeah.
Like, what magic waters is Sean Payton giving him?
I know, no kidding. By the way, if he does that, Tampa Bay would be thanked the good Lord they got Tom Brady in
yes.
the Super Bowl.
who said yesterday he thinks he wants to play at a 50 now.
God, why not? Just
why
do
not
it.
Do
stop,
it?
Stop, stop. Stop this nonsense and just make it happen.
Well, the only thing that's standing in his way is Giselle.
Yeah, Giselle won't let him play. Is that right?
Or yeah. I don't think she wants him playing another 7-6 years.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, how about the Denver Broncos against Jacksonville? Urban Meyer will not be on the sidelines. He'll be in negotiations with USC. So I don't know who the interim coach is going to be. I'm sorry. I had to make that joke.
That's awesome.
Trevor Lawrence, though, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in his debut against a Denver defense that's really good.
Yeah.
Really good. And really good at getting the ball. Now, the Denver offense was pretty good against the Giants. Melvin Gordon had a big run, and Teddy Bridgewater played a good game. I still think the offense for the Broncos isn't going to be awesome like their defense is, but their defense is very good.
Yep. No, and this, I mean, again, week two, hey, welcome to the NFL, Trevor Lawrence.
That's right. Yeah. This is going to be one of those.
Take your licks in, but eventually you'll be on the other side of all this.
Yeah, I agree. You will be. You will be. You'll have a team around you that's doing to them what the people are doing to you this season.
Just need Jacksonville to learn how to draft top defenders.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Minnesota against Arizona, the Cardinals, still burying Ryan Tannehill into the turf. I think he did 2 times yesterday and a couple of times Wednesday. Arizona was great, and they were really fun to watch against the Titans and the dismantling of Tennessee.
They
a lot of it was Tennessee's inability to block, but, man, Kyler Murray threw some nice passes in that game.
Do you think Kirk Cousins rewatched that game going, I really don't want to play?
I don't want to play. Because, again, think about what the Arizona Cardinals did to the Titans' wideouts. They sent Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. Now, you can think J.J. Watt is not as effective as he used to be, and you're probably right, but you still have to play for him.
Yep.
And you're letting these two guys, you have to make sure these two guys don't come after you, so you got to put a little bit more resources, and all of a sudden now, this Arizona team can send a bunch of guys back to cover your deep outs, and you don't have time anyway to throw to them. That's what the Titans had. That's why the Titans had problems getting the ball downfield. But the vertical game, they just couldn't. There was too much pressure coming at him. And when Taylor Lewan decided not to play, then it was real, real trouble for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. And I, to make a bad joke like you just did, I think Kirk Cousins is going to come down with COVID.
Ah, you might right.
Probably
might
be, why he didn't want the shot in the first place. Just to have that as a backup.
Just to make it as a backup. Tampa Bay hosting Atlanta. Here's a fun stat for you statty people out there. Matt Ryan is 0-for-5 career against Tom Brady, including Super Bowl 51.
Did something important happen in that game? I don't remember.
Still affecting him all these years later. The Buccaneers coming off a 4-touchdown performance by Brady in their win against Dallas. The Falcons' offense was non-existent, as we found out talking to our good friend D. Orlando Ledbetter earlier this week. This is going to be a nightmare for Atlanta.
Oh, God. Honestly, it might be a bloodbath.
It could be.
Because the
Buccaneers, they don't have a good defense, and they don't have a good offense.
Well, here's the problem. The Buccaneers, despite winning, know they didn't play well last Thursday against the Cowboys.
Right, right.
And
needing a touchdown drive to win it.
Yeah.
Field goal drive to win it.
And that'll eat away at somebody like Tom Brady.
Sure.
Where he's like, no, I made too many mistakes. We made too many mistakes. We're gonna you know, tighten all those loose screws up. And
wasn't that what he said, like, immediately after the game?
Yes.
Like, well, they got a lot of problems here. We got to fix a lot of problems. They're like, man, you just beat the Cowboys in opening week yeah. with four touchdown passes. But he found, you're right, he found all the things that they didn't do right.
So, sorry, Matt.
Yeah. Dallas on the road to face your Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
Before we get to the Chargers, here's Dallas's problem. DeMarcus Lawrence out with a broken foot. Randy Gregory out with COVID. Zach Martin's back on the offensive line. Lyle Collins, however, is on a 5-game suspension for a violation of the substance abuse policy. And wide receiver Michael Gallup is on the IR. There, I just did the Cowboys. Now go do the Chargers.
There will be more Cowboy fans at SoFi Stadium.
I think you're right. I'm looking forward to seeing
you know
that.
They will. Cowboys training camp's in Oxnard.
It's in Oxnard.
Those guys will travel down. That's not that far from L.A.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, expanding the brand.
Yes, and you know, if you listen to this radio network, especially on the weekends, Dave Smith hit the nail on the head. The NFL's got to convince Dean Spanos to sell his property.
Sell the team. Threaten them.
Yeah.
Ship it back to San Diego.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, honestly, I think the Chargers have what it takes to beat this Cowboys team, especially with all their holes on the defensive side. But it's not going to be an easy test. I think every game this season for the Chargers is not going to be an easy one.
Hey, let's put you just mentioned something here. This is the first Charger game in that stadium in front of people.
Yes.
So while we made fun of them back in the day when they were playing in that soccer stadium when 30,000 of the other team's fans showed up, this could be embarrassing for the league.
Oh, it could be.
This really could be.
I mean, Cowboy fans have a long reach.
Right,
but
sure
what do
they
we
do.
Say? It's like, you know, there's four teams out there whose fans are all over the place. Cowboys, Packers, Steelers, and Raiders.
Yep.
They got fans in every small town in America. And, yeah, you know, I know for a fact that there's a large group of Cowboy fans in California. I mean, Southern California especially. This team, I mean, they're going to show up to watch the Chargers because, listen, L.A. doesn't have any real Charger fans. No one was a fan of the L.A. Chargers back in the day. San Diego fans still feel kind of burned, and you know, it's a Southern California almost mentality. It's like, yeah, we don't need to travel up there. Yeah. We'll just watch it on TV.
You know, back in the day when Dallas and would play Arizona as division rivals before the shakeup.
Yeah.
That was their ninth home game at Tempe at Sun Devil Stadium.
Yeah,
they would. I mean, that place was packed with Cowboy fans.
So I mean, it's it is going to be kind of sad, but you almost feel like Justin Herbert's going to have to go to like a silent count.
Yeah, he might be. You're right. Tennessee against Seattle. The Titans better clean things up. All week I've been hearing in Nashville what a mess this team is. It's just one loss, but my God, this town is panicking like you would not believe. Seattle coming off a road win against Indianapolis. 12th man should be rocking up in Seattle. I think the Titans are in a little bit of trouble. But, man, my God, people here are ready to
here's
jump
the
ship.
Big issue. Here's the big issue. That offensive line needs to do better.
Badly.
You can't
bad,
let
really
one
badly.
Guy just wreak havoc on you all game long. And I think that's where all the angst is coming from, all the talking points are coming from.
Yeah, they still got weapons offensively if they can get it moving, but that offensive line has got to do a better job. This could be real trouble for Tennessee. Kansas City on the road to face Baltimore. This is their second straight AFC North opponent and a tough one to boot. Ravens coming off a tough loss against Las Vegas. Still, that team is dangerous. Be careful, Kansas City.
This is a fantastic game.
Absolutely. That'll be the Sunday night affair.
The only issue I have with this game is that Lamar Jackson is talking too much.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, talking about how, yeah, you know, he's 0-3 against the Chiefs all time, but, you know, that doesn't matter anything for Sunday. It's like, you know, have a little bit more respect for that.
All right, we've
seen what they can do.
And to close out the Monday night game, it's Green Bay against Detroit. All right, Aaron Rodgers, you told everybody not to worry. You told everybody to not make this a big deal. Then you better go out and beat the Lions by like 50 points because people are going to lose their minds if you lose to this team.
What if he doesn't get a touchdown again?
What if they don't? Yeah, what if it's 23-3 on Monday night football and Aaron Rodgers' offense is stagnant and dull? The conspiracy theories won't wait 2 seconds before they'll start pouring out.
Oh, you talk... Mid-game, those conspiracies.
Mid-game.
Just watch Twitter. If Aaron Rodgers is having another poor showing, the conspiracy theories, you just find thread after thread after thread.
Absolutely. Without question. All right, that's our wrap-up. We'll come back. More thoughts on the NFL as we roll along, continuing on Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Sports Map Radio as we get ready for the weekend of football. I mentioned earlier the Oklahoma-Nebraska matchup, and it's going back to the 1971 Game of the Century. Do you think we use Game of the Century or a little too much?
Yes, and here's the reason why. Because every time I hear Game of the Century, my first thought is UCLA versus Houston in basketball.
Yeah, that's right.
Because wasn't that a Game of the Century?
That was a Game of the century too. Yeah, we get a little too crazy sometimes with that. Here's the thing. Either if you have a Game of the Century, right, meaning it's the best game in 100 years, there shouldn't be a battle for it, right? That it should have separated itself so much that it got Game of the Century. It's like if you say Game of the Year, you can be like, well, okay, but there's a lot of other games that were pretty good too. All right. But if you go Game of the Century, it's like you're just going, wait, all these games are good? This one is so good. It's the best out of 100 years of playing football.
Listen, like, I just Googled Game of the Century.
I bet there's 25 different answers.
Well, just in college football alone, if my computer, come on, computer, wake up. I feel like Scotty every time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And there's right now currently 4 of the 21st century.
Well, okay, give me a couple that were in the 20th century.
The 20th century?
The 20th century.
The first game of the century goes back to 1935, and that's Notre Dame versus Ohio State.
Oh, well, okay. So back in 35, they were like, this in the next 65 years of football,
yes,
we will not have a better moment than what we're watching today.
Yeah, the last game of the century in the 20th century was Florida State versus Notre Dame, 1993.
That was Notre Dame winning that one. Winning that game. You know how I know that? Because if I'm not mistaken, did Notre Dame win that game?
Yes.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, and I'll have to look it up, I think Boston College beat Notre Dame the
following week. They did.
Yes.
On a last-second field goal. Look at that memory. Look at that brain cell popping up for you.
Look at me. Yeah, that one was Catholics versus convicts, 93.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, that was.
I'm not seeing they for some reason that's not listed in on the Wikipedia page here, but I believe you are right.
Yeah,
that's, of the 21st century.
Oh, was that Miami? Notre Dame versus Miami?
That might have been. Yeah, you might be right.
I might have to. Yeah. Look at me. I got the Boston College thing, and I missed up on Catholics versus convicts.
But the 21st century, there's 4 games listed, right?
All right. I'm going to name one.
Okay.
Ohio State, Michigan, 2006.
Yes.
Yeah, that was 1-2.
Yeah.
That was a classic, too.
The first one listed is Texas versus USC, Rose Bowl.
Oh, that was outstanding. You people in the future that are listening to this.
That was the game of the century.
70 years from now in 2091, you have no idea what you missed in the Rose Bowl when USC and Texas met, when Vince Young scored that touchdown. It's too bad you live in the future with clean air now and clean water and everybody living in harmony.
You know
what's
sad?
You missed 2004, 2005 when USC and Texas played in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, 2006 Rose Bowl. We can't even tell you what you're going to watch it on.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, for us, it would have been videotape, and then it was a silver disc.
Yep.
And now, you know, I think when this comes up, you'll probably just push a button next to your head, and it's just implanted in your brain.
Yeah, exactly. So go to your brain vision and upload the Rose Bowl of 2006. You won't be disappointed in that. Was that 2006 or 2005?
Well, it was the 2006 Rose Bowl following the 2005 season.
That's right. Okay, good.
Yeah, that was a fantastic game.
That was a great game. I know it was another game of the century. Was that Alabama Auburn kick six?
Nope.
No, okay.
No, the other two feature the same two teams.
Ooh.
One is 2011 LSU versus Alabama.
Okay.
And then 2019 LSU versus Alabama.
Yeah, Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa.
LSU won both of those.
Yeah, they did.
But can a game of the century between in the 2011 LSU-Alabama game, can a game of the century finish 9-6?
Well, okay. Yeah, that was a okay. Can I bring up more history about that one?
Of course.
Okay, that was a game that was held to field goals, and yep. LSU won. And you remember that season, Alabama played LSU again for the national championship,
yep.
and decided that LSU wasn't going to pass the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
And you know what was funny about that? When Alabama and LSU played basketball. When LSU got their ball and crossed midcourt, everybody in Tuscaloosa cheered. It was great. It was so great.
They finally did it.
They finally passed the midway point of the arena.
Yeah, I guess the other thing of note from that game, 45 players who played in that game went on to be drafted into the NFL.
Oh, God, that's crazy.
Including 16 of the 22 defensive starters.
That's crazy. I was asking you this question off the air. I might ask Jerry Palm this. Name, image, and likeness. Did we talk off the air or on the air about this?
I think it was off.
All right. Let's pretend it was off. And if I'm repeating myself, it's because I'm getting older.
Yep.
I might ask Jerry Palm this. Name, image, and likeness. As it gets going, because right now we're in its infancy and we're still not really sure how it's going to work. But as it gets moving and players know exactly what could be coming their way, does name, image, and likeness for a 5-star recruit, in terms of recruiting, does that help Alabama or hurt Alabama? And I'll give you my reasoning for both. Does it help Alabama? Yeah, because if you're a 5-star recruit and you go to Alabama, there's a lot of money coming your way. But Alabama has this tendency to recruit a lot of 5-star players, and a lot of 5-star players that don't play right away. They sit behind All-Americans, waiting their turn, waiting for those guys to go in the NFL so that they can take that position, so that they can go to the NFL. And I think if you know what your value is in terms of, I'm a 5-star, highly recruited player, I think you would want that money almost as soon as possible. And there's just not enough to go around, and you may not get the kind of lucrative deal initially as you would if you signed with another big school where you are going to start right away as a freshman. So I'm looking at it in both ways, and I'm curious as to how that's going to play. Because right now, Alabama just rolls out superstars constantly.
Yeah.
All the time.
See, I imagine that there's going to be a huge drop-off once Nick Saban decides to call it.
I do too. I do too.
You know, Alabama's, I mean, sure, they might have another decent season or two after that, unless they're able to bring in the next great Saban.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel that there's going to be just a huge nosedive. And then to your name and image likeness, is Tuscaloosa appetizing enough?
Right, right. Very true.
You know, I mean, I know everything's national now. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are. You can find your next big paycheck because everything is, you know, internet based or worldwide based. I mean, you can find it. But I have a feeling that there'll be more opportunities, say, like in you know, one of the larger media markets.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. I'm going to be really interested to see how this plays out in recruiting. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, I mean, will we see like a resurgence in like, you know, Northwestern?
Yeah,
being a great school year after year after year, or you know, Houston Cougars. I mean, Houston has a big media market. UCLA, USC. Will the Pac-12 be dominant again? Because you got two teams in Southern California that, you know, the largest, you know, large media capital of the world almost.
Yeah. Will Mattress Mac get involved in the
maybe
name, image, and likeness game?
Maybe,
in Houston?
But he's too, you know what the problem with him? He's too busy doing stuff for free.
I know, doesn't he? He's just, so amazing.
Just, I mean, he's just opening his doors left and right all the time. I mean, between Harvey and then the latest hurricane that just hit Louisiana, Ida, he must have thrown out these like millions of dollars worth of furniture.
You know what I will tell you this, and I'm not living in Houston, but I just know of Mattress Mac, what I see in the news, and you're more close to him. He is exactly what you should do when you kind of have that money.
Yeah.
When you have that money. He does exactly what you're supposed to do in those kind of moments where he said, I'll never forget that hurricane a couple years ago, Hurricane Harvey, where he told people, come to my store and sleep on the beds and sit on the couches.
Yeah. I'll have food for you as well.
Yeah. I will bring food, but you come and you sleep on these beds and you sit on these couches and you use them And we'll figure it out down the road, but you need them right now, and you use those.
And I'm saying that's what he just did that again for Ida, yeah. For Louisiana folk.
It's awesome.
Just
it's
like,
so
hey, if
awesome.
You need a place to stay because, you know, not everyone can afford hotels. My stores are open, and he has three of them in Houston.
Yeah, it's really great.
It's amazing.
He's really great. So anyway, Game of the Century, 1971, Oklahoma, Nebraska. You can buy that if they're selling it to you. But remember, there has been 100 of these kind of games throughout the history of college football.
And that's just, we're just talking football. Yeah. I typed in Game of the Century. One of the things popped up was chess.
Oh, yeah. What's the chess match that's Game of the Century? Not that I follow chess, but is it a Bobby Fischer match?
Probably. It's got to be, right? I mean, has there ever been?
Hey, listen. I this is a tangent.
Yeah, Bobby
but
Fischer against Donald Byrne.
Oh wow,
Byrne. I don't know how to say his last name.
When Bobby Fischer was playing Boris Spassky in Iceland in the '70s, that was a big deal.
Yes,
people gathered in front of TVs to watch it in New York City. Like people watched it, people discussed it. I wasn't, you know, cognizant at the time of that, but people who were said it exploded in the United States interest in chess. Because look, when we have a guy we root for, we will buy anything that they'll do. It's crazy. Take something we're not really all that interested in. Put an American in it. It'll take off like wildfire.
Okay, if you really want to go like full nerdum,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, I decided to go to the Wikipedia of the Game of the Century chess.
Uh huh.
They have the play by play of all the moves. I have no idea what I'm looking at.
I know. I play chess and I don't know half of that. What that means.
First move out of the gate, Nf3.
Yeah.
Or I guess that's knight.
Knight to something.
Well, that's not knight. Why would knight begin with a? Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know. But I mean, they literally have every single move on here.
You know what's funny about when I watched this documentary? It was on. I think it was on HBO on Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer ended up being crazy. Right. He just really went nuts and he started doing conspiracy theories and he said some really bad things. And Jeremy Schapp like put him in his place at a press conference once years later. But they were talking about these matches with Boris Spassky. This is how much I don't know about chess. So I kid you not. They were talking about this one game and everyone was like, Bobby Fischer, before he moves, he normally takes the pawn and moves it off of the queen. Right. But in this game, he did this other move, and they're like, and everybody was like, oh no. And you knew he was going to, he made one move, one different move, and everybody went, oh, well, this is over now.
That's it.
I'm like, what kind of like world am I missing that I can't, like, I have no, like, if he did that in front of me, I'd be like, okay, what's the next thing you're supposed to do? To respond to that, these chess masters knew that it was a tactical decision that changed the course of the game.
That's one of the things. Move number 11 by Bobby Fischer. It's quoted, one of the most powerful moves of all time.
Unbelievable. Where do you get that?
Fischer offers an ingenious knight sacrifice. What does that mean? I do that all the time.
If I was doing play-by-play, if they said do play-by-play, I'd be like, oh, he's in trouble. He lost that piece.
Then somebody's like, leaning in going, no, that's actually brilliant.
Actually, he wanted to lose that. Shut up. I quit. And I would just walk off the set.
I don't even know what I'm watching.
That looked like an important piece he lost. It could jump other pieces and move and make an L. Why would you want to lose that?
And that was the beauty of Queen's Gambit.
Right.
Because you didn't have to know chess to understand what was going on.
No, not at all. Not at all. That's so true. Absolutely true. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up this hour. Get you set for Denton Day on a Friday on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Denton Day is coming up next on Sports Map Radio. I hope you guys have a great weekend. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. I mean, we are at that point now where I don't even know what else is going on in the sports world outside of football. Like, I got to start paying attention to the pennant races, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the playoff races, I guess.
All I know, all I'm caring about right now is the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers have already in.
They're
right?
in. It's just whether or not they can catch up to the Giants.
Yeah, can they make a move to win that division? Are they? They're only a game back.
Yeah,
right?
They're close. Giants just lost. Dodgers, I think they won yesterday. But I mean, again, you know, I can tell you more right now about the 1986 Mets. I can't about what's going on in
there
baseball.
Was an interesting development in Atlanta yesterday. They didn't play against Colorado, and so they had to postpone the game because of rain. But what's interesting about it is Braves are kind of in this fight with Philadelphia now for the division, and they're only three games ahead. And the Braves have been plus or minus, you know, back and forth, back and forth. But one thing that is statistically is that the Colorado Rockies are 10-2 at Truist Park since it opened in 2017. For whatever reason, they love going to that place.
Nice.
If the Braves, if this game gets rescheduled for October 4th, which is the final. It's the game after the regular season ends to make it up. What if that game is significantly important for Atlanta in terms of where they're seated and how they go? They're playing a very tough team that knows how to play them in their place. So there's just this little development that's going on.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Other than that, the only other bit of MLB news is Shohei Ohtani might be done for this season.
Shohei Ohtani could be done pitching, and you'll still win the MVP. What a remarkable year that guy is.
Yeah.
But my God, I keep hearing more and more, you know, comparisons to Mike Trout, right? We better start seeing this team in the playoffs.
You need to. This team, absolutely. Obviously not this year, but they got to make it next year.
Yeah, next year, they got to start putting together a team that can make the postseason. Because if we're already sort of going, we haven't really seen. Mike Trout's like 30 years old. Shohei Ohtani, if he disappears on a L.A. Angels team that never makes the postseason, I'll be ashamed for Major League Baseball. Absolute shame, because this guy is absolutely amazing. All right, Denton Day's next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday.